Blog Talk Radio.
Spirit of Truth Ministry is delighted to bring you the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling, where we test the beliefs of Christianity against the very words of Jesus that he gave his own eyewitness disciples. Join us for a unique and challenging study into truth, justice, and the kingdom of heaven. Hello, hello, and welcome everyone on this July 1, 2023. We are delighted that you've taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule to join us today for our program, The Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. And we encourage you to join us with your Bibles and a piece of paper that you can use to take notes, because today is, in the immortal words of, well, me, it's going to be a barn burner. Okay, so we'll get started here in a minute. First, before we do, I will call your attention to our primary website at spiritoftruthministry.net. There you will find lots and lots of good writing by Rick Sterling and a copy of our book, The Spirit of the Church, by Rick and me, Dennis Neufeld. We encourage you to make use of that as a resource. We also have a secondary archived website located at spiritoftruthministry.net/SM. And I will post those on our chat room here on Blog Talk Radio. I will also repost both of those websites on our Facebook page, which is located at Spirit of Truth Ministry Group. By the way, it is a singular ministry, not ministries. There are a number of Spirit of Truth ministries out there, but none of them are us. Okay? Let us have prayer and we will get started, do our greetings, and then we'll get with it. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We honor your names, the name of the Father, God Almighty, the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and the name of our Mother, the Holy Spirit, wisdom. Thank you for being here, all three, with us today, so that we can move further into this exciting realm of truth and the kingdom of God on earth. Thank you for being with us today, and open our minds, give us peace, and help us to understand the truths that you need us to understand to be prepared for service, not only to your kingdom here on this earth, but to those who would like to enter it. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's go over here. Good morning, Dr. Don.
Good morning to everybody. Good morning to our listening audience. Looking forward to a great study.
And Larry, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick.
Welcome, everyone. It is good to be with you again. And my prayer is that you will find God's blessing on you from the truth that you are searching for. And I can say, here you have found it. I just wanted to make clear, yesterday, Dennis has a tendency to speak from the other side of the aisle, so to put it, and when he was going on about the evil Russia and the evil ruler of Russia, and that he was doing that sarcastically, He was not.
Say ironically.
I would say ironically.
I would say sarcastically. Because the proof, as Dennis would put it, is in the pudding.
Or apple pie or whatever.
If the, well, pudding doesn't jiggle when you shake it, but slops all over you. It proves that there's no
substance.
Gel
there's no
to the pudding. In fact, the truth of the situation is now, the people of the country are not representative of the leadership of the country, just as the leadership of the country is not representative of the people of the country, not necessarily. In this country, we have a tyrannical government. It is there for a purpose. It is there to show the difference between tyranny and a representative republic.
We have what you could call a demonstration government.
In Ukraine, it is a vassal of the government here in the United States and in the European Union. And the what is the leadership in Ukraine is what the World Economic Forum, the WHO, and the One World Order crowd is hoping to infect the whole world with. And the instigator of all of this is Satan. And yesterday I talked about the offspring of Satan. Satan is a narcissist, and his offspring are all narcissists.
Yeah, that's right, exactly.
So if you know a narcissist, you know who their father is. There are many, 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 many thousands, tens of thousands of Ukrainians who know that their government was installed and not elected.
And I find it fascinating, Rick, that the people of the world who are buying into the idea that the Ukraine is the last bastion of democracy against the evil, and again, I'm doing that again, against the evil bear that is Putin and all that stuff. The thing is, the president of the Ukraine has just outlawed elections during the prosecution of this war.
Not just elections. He's outlawed
everything.
All media that portrayed him as the true person that he is. The Ukrainian Orthodox Church has been outlawed. Basically, he's turned it into a Nazi concentration camp.
Nazi dictatorship, exactly. And by the way, people will say, well, that can't be. Well, he is a Nazi. And his army, the professional army of the Ukraine, not the volunteers that are being conscripted to be cannon fodder, but the Azov battalions are all Nazis. And you can tell. You know how you can tell? Because they have the swastika on their helmet.
So what I see happening in terms of Almighty God is this is the fighting war for the whole earth. And I know because the clear distinction between the two leaders Zelensky, and Putin. Now, I'm not saying that Putin is a righteous man by any means. I am saying that Zelensky is bought and paid for. And if it was probably up to him, he would have signed a peace treaty, but he was not allowed to. In fact, I understand that he did sign a peace treaty, and that's why Boris Johnson went to Ukraine immediately and told him, no way, no how, you're not going to have any kind of a treaty here. You're going to fight the war. Where does this come from? This comes from Satan. Are you wondering whether Satan really exists or not? You can see him at work.
And you can see him at work in our own Congress and Senate from the certain people in both of those quote-unquote august bodies that are all in favor of this war. Both sides have people on it.
Even to the point of
nuclear war is on the table for these people.
But guess what, Dennis?
It ain't going to happen.
God has a kingdom on earth.
Ain't that the truth? Hallelujah.
God has a kingdom on earth, and watch God win.
Just a curiosity question, probably more for other listeners than myself, but is there a simple way that we can convince them that God has a kingdom, or convince them he didn't before?
He didn't before because God has been waiting for a kingdom, not a kingdom waiting for God.
Right.
The Christian realm is not the same realm that the kingdom of God exists in. Any more than the children of Israel at the time when their king, or I should say the king of the kingdom that they thought they were, arrived.
Rick, let me ask you a question then pertaining to that, because there's a lot of people who believe as Christians that Jesus came to this earth partly at the end after the crucifixion to found the Christian church to promote his teachings in the world.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, Dennis, because on YouTube right now, Bart D. Ehrman, someone that is still trying to find God, but he's looking in all the wrong places, he's a very intelligent person, and he's written some books that I have appreciated and that have helped me, but he's going the wrong direction. And I feel bad about that. But he said, did Jesus come to start a new religion?
And the answer is no. And not only is it no, it is a resounding no. And so the question is, you go ahead, Larry. Go ahead.
I don't know how well it fits because it's based on a pre-show start conversation, but sounds to me like the way you're describing Bart Ehrman's approach to finding God or finding the gate is found in Luke as opposed to Matthew.
Well, and that's what's caused, that is what has caused the confusion.
And so did Jesus come to found a church? No. What was Israel to God, and what were the statutes and the all of those other things other than the Ten Commandments? What was all of that about? Did God found the religion that the Israelites used to control their own people? No. that was not a religious system. It was a guide to spiritual truth. And they bastardized it. The leadership.
Oh, no, well, yeah. But the thing is it the leadership had only the same amount to do with it as Zelensky has with what's going on in Ukraine.
Absolutely. That's right.
They were led by the God of this world. That's a small g. Mm-hmm. That is Satan, who is the ruler of the kingdom of the world.
Exactly.
And he moves to control the leadership of every country.
And he is the one that has created every single religion of the world.
Now, why does he need to do this? He knows he needs to do this. So why does he need to do this?
He needs people worshiping someone other than the God of creation.
He wants this world.
Right.
He sees this world as his. He took it, and he's going to prove to God that he can keep it. And the only way, the only stumbling block to his perfect plan is if God gets a kingdom on earth, he is done. What was the most important and main reason why the Son of God came here to earth, was born of a woman, was in a flesh and blood body, and walked among the people, working miracles and teaching them? What did he come here? What was his primary purpose?
John 18:36-37, he came here to testify to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears his voice.
But what did he say before he said that? What were the words he said just before he said he came to testify the truth?
I'll find it right here.
So you are a king.
Right. See, this is what...
But what did he say before that?
Let me read it.
My kingdom. Okay, go ahead, Dennis.
Let's go back up to 1833.
Are you a king?
Therefore, Pilate entered again into the praetorium and summoned Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative? Or did others put you up to it? Pilate answered, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, here it is. My kingdom is not of this world. Okay. Whose kingdom is of this world? Satan.
The one that Pilate serves.
Right. My kingdom is not of this world.
And guess what? The one that the leadership of the Jews serves.
Right.
Also.
Exactly. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would not be handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not of this realm.
Did he say, so that I would not be handed over to my kingdom? Or did he say, so that I would not be handed over to the Jews?
The Jews. And were the Jews his kingdom? No, they were not. Therefore, Pilate said to him, this is verse 37, so you are a king? Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world. Now, you see, I love doing this because this is what people hear as Christians. Tell me it's wrong. Tell me they don't hear this. For this reason I have been born, and for this reason I have come into the world, to tell you that you are saved by grace through faith and nothing that you can do.
I never read it
you.
That way, Dennis.
No.
Even before I did this,
but
I never
this,
read it that
no,
way.
No, but that is what Christians read because they don't know what Jesus actually said. They don't know what he said in John 3. And they base their whole religious existence on John 3:16 and 17. You see?
And they don't know what John said in 2 John either.
He came to testify to the truth. Is any religion,
what
is any religion
the truth? What does the truth have to do with why he came?
It is the sole reason why he came.
It is the only thing that will get you into the kingdom of God.
Exactly.
It is the only thing. You can't pray your way into the kingdom of God. You can't believe your way into the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The only way you can enter the kingdom of God is if you learn the truth and the truth finds a home in your soul.
And so the final words that Jesus said to Pilate, and then I'm going to read what Pilate said, because that is critical, and it's what Christians do to us when we talk about this. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And then Pilate said to him, what is truth? You see, I have had more people, Christians, when I have said this, they say, well, what is truth? Well, I said, Jesus just described it. It's his words. It's his teachings. So you're saying that Paul has nothing to do with this? Well, yeah. Oh, well, then you're not a Christian. I said, you're right. You see, every single religion on the face of the earth, no matter how delightful to the ear it is, every one of them has been manufactured by Satan to disconnect people from the truth.
How many people have you that you have talked to have concluded the conversation with, well, you have your truth, and I'll have mine, and we'll both see each other in heaven.
And then I will say the final thing. I'll say, you find a place where Jesus said that, and I'll believe you.
What did the Son of God say the truth does? It unifies.
John 17.
It is not a personal understanding. It is the truth. And when he talks about his disciples being one with each other, one with him, one with the Father, just as he is one with the Father,
through the Holy Spirit.
How can that possibly happen? How can a human being who has been sinning ever get to the place where they can be one with the Father as the Son of God is one with the Father? There's only one way, truth. You have to have the truth.
Sure.
The flesh accounts for nothing. Everybody thinks that because Paul says sin is in the flesh is sinful, and so we can never be one with God as long as we're in this flesh. That's what Paul teaches.
And Jesus,
but that's not what the Son of God
right.
teaches.
Right. Go ahead, Larry.
I'm trying to solidify a thought that's going through my mind. Applying the idea that you said something about Satan disconnects. And with the equivalent or another variation of that, I'm thinking that Satan vaccinates against truth through lies, but most people perceive his vaccination as a vaccination against lies. And
right.
And it's not. It's a vaccination
against
truth. But it's a true vaccine.
That's right, Larry. That's a very good
point. Yep.
Very
and it does
point.
Exactly the same thing that the COVID vaccine has done to millions of people. And that inoculates them against being healthy. You know, we have a friend, and we won't mention the name, but man, he took two vaccines and two boosters and had a heart attack.
Had a clot. So how do I know that God has a kingdom finally? Now, I could say, how do I know that God has a kingdom in the end of time? But it's only the end of time because God has a kingdom. the presence of his kingdom on earth is what triggers the end of time. As long as the earth, the people of the earth are going on in the stasis environment where Christians are worshiping God according to the Gospel of Paul, and you have Muslims that are worshiping Allah. You have Hindus that are worshiping in accordance with Krishna or their Hindu beliefs. You have pagans worshiping pagan gods. You have atheists worshiping no god. And the earth, the people, just life just keeps going on. And a lot of people would prefer it that way. Live their life, raise their family, enjoy their grandkids, and maybe if they're lucky enough, great-grandkids. Associate with their friends at church. Work at their job. Take a two-week vacation once a year. Have enough money to make a house payment and buy food and a car. Just live their life, but never really experience joy.
And the result of all that, following its certain conclusion, maybe this is even where you're headed, but isn't that found in Revelation 22? Those outside the city?
Yes. Yes.
Not afflicted by Satan's lies, but they still make self-interest choices.
The reason that the unrest of the end time starts is because it's described in Revelation 12. I'm not even going to turn to it because I know where it is. Revelation 12, and when the devil is cast down, he knows his days are numbered, and he knows they are short. Now, how is it that he knows that? Because the Son of God made it clear he would have a kingdom on earth. He left no doubt. Now, he had called the children of Israel to be his kingdom. And Satan knew that all he had to do is capture the priesthood of Israel, and the people of Israel would never, ever become the righteous kingdom. Not that God hoped they would be, or longed for them to be, or expected them to be. It was what he needed them to be. And he told Moses, look, I'm laying before you today for this nation, this people, life and blessing and prosperity, or death and curses and captivity. Choose life. Now, how were the people going to choose life? How does anybody choose life? Well, I'm sure if you sat down and asked each person, what would you choose? Death and destruction or life and prosperity? Well, I choose life and prosperity. See, the choice is easy to say, but it's not, but it seems impossible to make. If you want life, God has let you know you need to do to have life. It's the same choice that the man and the woman in the garden had. If they wanted to live forever, because they were mortal, but God had put the tree of life in the garden so that a mortal can live forever because they have access to the tree of life. If you want death, listen to the serpent. The man and the woman chose to believe the serpent and hope that their creator would say, yeah, I really didn't mean what I said when I said that I would put you to death on the day that you disobeyed. That was just, you know, to see what you would do. Did you want to say something, Larry?
Listening to the serpent can come in many forms, and some of them are even in the sources.
Yeah.
Appear to be human beings.
Yeah. So the man and the woman chose death and pain, disaster. Their firstborn son killed his brother. The man, whereas in the garden, the land just produced their food and all they had to do was pick it and eat it. Outside the garden, he had to plant, and what's really hard is weed. And the woman, she bore children in pain. But God did not put them to death. And the reason is that God wanted to get the world back under his control. He didn't want to hand the world over to the evil one. The evil one would have won. He would have showed that he could defeat God's purpose. He got the man and the woman to believe a lie. So the Son of God had to become flesh, be born of a human woman, because he was going to start afresh. Whereas before, the children of Israel were tasked with becoming God's holy people, and they refused. So the king came here to announce to the leadership of Israel that the opportunity and the mandate to become the kingdom of God, God's holy people on earth, so that God could defeat the devil, was taken away from them for non-performance, as described in the parable of the tenants in the field. And it would be made available to anyone and everyone who would meet the requirements to become the kingdom of God. And the requirements are these: keep the commandments of God and hold to the testimony of the Son of God. And the only way you can hold to the testimony of the Son of God is to know what his testimony is. And you'd be surprised at how many people I have found that think that what Paul taught is the same thing that what the Son of God taught. And it is not. It is not. You will never hear me present anything from what Paul wrote as anything that you need to know in order to be part of the kingdom of God. From me, you will only hear from eyewitness testimony what the Son of God taught, because that is his true testimony.
That would be the same thing as saying that Adam and Eve need to listen to the serpent in order to know what God wanted.
Absolutely. So the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had is a life road dream, and Nebuchadnezzar had wanted to know what he was wondering in his mind. You can read this in Daniel chapter 2, was what would become of the greatness of the kingdom that he had built. Who would take over after he had died, and what would become of the kingdom of Babylon? And ultimately, what would be the finality of all of the kingdoms, the progression of kingdoms of the world? What would be the finality of that? And so he was given a vision or a dream. And what he saw was, and I'm doing this from what Daniel told him, and Daniel told him the dream because, and Daniel makes it clear, the God of Israel told him what the dream was and told him what the dream meant. This giant, great, and impressive image. The image was the progression of the kingdoms of the world, who are controlled and ruled by the ruler of this world. And then at the end, at the time of the feet, and it is the end because of this, a stone broke away from the mountain. And struck the image at its feet. And the kingdom of the world was destroyed. Satan was defeated. And then it says that the stone absorbed the nations, absorbed them. They didn't automatically just go into the stone and the stone becomes a huge mountain that fills the whole earth. No, this was a process over time. A process over time after the defeat of Satan's kingdom, the kingdom of the world. So the kingdom of the world will become the kingdom of the Father and his Son, the anointed King. That is what God has always wanted. Now, when the disciples asked their teacher, why do the scribes say that Elijah must come first? The Son of God said, indeed, Elijah is coming. He did not say, indeed, Elijah's plural, are coming. He said Elijah is coming. And we'll see that everything is once more as it should be. So what he's saying is there will be one individual at the end of time. And it is the end of time because this one individual is like the mustard seed. Planted, grows into a tree. And the birds of the air make their nests in its branches. Another life road, parable, prophecy. See, that has been God's plan all along. That's what he wanted to do with Israel, but they refused to cooperate. So the kingdom is like a mustard seed, smallest of all the seeds, but it grows into a tree. A life road prophecy. The dragnet parable is a life road prophecy. The parable of the sower we talked about, I think last weekend, and it got me to thinking, and there's a very clear process that the Son of God was relaying to those who would listen. The Father's part of the process is he provides the seed. The Son of God's part in the process, and what the process is the process to restore holiness to the people of earth. The part of the process of the Son of God is he is the sower. He sows the seed that the Father gave him. And there is another, and she is the most important part, at least if there is a most important part. They all work together, but hers is important in that she is the one who tends to the seed that is planted. If you allow the seed of truth, the testimony of the Son of God, to stay in your intellect, the Holy Spirit will take care of it. I promise you. The Holy Spirit will tend it, water it to grow and flourish, and she will bring it to its full ripeness if you just let her. But first, you have to allow the seed that the sower planted, which he got from his Father. And as the Holy Spirit helps that seed of truth, the testimony of the Son of God, to grow, she will start to remove all the weeds in the garden of your soul. I can tell you this for a fact because it's happened to me. And I'm sure it's happened to Larry and to Dennis and to Mike and to Don and everyone who is still listening. It is still happening.
I was thinking that while you were talking, as the Holy Spirit, the role that very much I relate to is teacher, because I've got something, I found something on the internet that outlines a curriculum for learning preschool through grade 6 or something like that, what a very well-defined topics and specific information that they need to learn during those grade levels. And some of it repeats from grade to grade until they feel it's been embedded, I guess, in them. But so the Holy Spirit knows what we need to learn from God's word and the logical progression of that learning and make sure it's in fact been learned.
Sounds like you speak from experience, Larry.
And I had another follow-on thought that just escaped me. Didn't survive that explanation. we were talking about she removes the weeds. My initial thought on that, do we need to give kind of semi-consciously or consciously give her permission as each of those weeds is removed?
Yeah, we need to allow her.
So it's not something that...
If you say, well, Paul says some good things. He talks about love, you know, love is kind, love is forgiving, love is this, love is that. Smooth words, comforting words that are interspersed with lies.
Lies.
Are still lies.
And you know, Larry, you mentioned weeding. I have loads and loads of weeds in my backyard. And I bought an implement that was supposed to help me take those out. You ever tried to take a weed out of a dry ground, a deep weed out of dry ground? You can work on that sucker forever. How do you get weeds out? You water the ground, which makes the weeds come out easily.
Yep.
That's why I'm working on my sprinkler system.
The same principles apply to sowing good seed.
Exactly.
And growing things that aren't weeds.
Exactly. You got to get rid of the weeds first, though.
Of course.
You cannot hope to have a wonderful lawn without getting rid of those weeds.
Now, this soil here where we live is particularly hard. Down near the coast where it's sandy soil, it's not quite as hard to get the weeds out, although when sandy soil is dry, it's harder than when it's
The difference
wet.
Is relative, but it's still the same thing. Our soil is about 50% clay. And again, you do have to put soil amendment. You have to do all sorts of prep. But the idea is the Holy Spirit is what we need both from water and from procedure to get rid of the weeds in our intellect.
Now, you know what I have found is that here in this hard soil, weeds grow a lot easier than the plants you want to grow.
Yeah. Right. We have weeds in our lawn that have 6-inch taproots. 6-inch taproots. So even if you got a rototiller out there, that rototiller would stall.
Well, the rototiller will bounce off the
clay. Will bounce off
our clay.
Right.
I know. And then but you can amend the soil. And, you know, amending the soil is like amending your soul. The soil that your soul represents spiritually, that you can amend your soul to make it more amenable to for seeds to grow, which
receptive.
Is which is from the parable of the sower. So I talked about life road and death road. For the people who have completed the process to become God's kingdom. And note that I say become, not enter. Because the kingdom is not a place that you enter. It is what you become. It is not a place. It is a people. And what are people? Each and every person is a soul, not a body, a soul. How do you choose life and prosperity? You choose the truth, to learn the truth, to know the truth, the only truth. Know it, live it, learn it, and be it. And then you will love it. The truth is what gives you the ability to truly love, to express love, to live love. Any other love is just acting.
So there's a difference between doing righteous and being righteous.
Which is why there is a distinction between righteousness and holiness, just as there is between sinfulness and filthiness in Revelation. Revelation 21.
Getting close.
And let's start with, verse 1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had disappeared now. And there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city and the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, as beautiful as a bride all dressed for her husband. Then I heard a loud voice call from the throne. You see this city? Here God lives among men. He will make his name among them. They shall be his people, and he will be their God. His name is God with them. Where have we heard that name before? Or very similar sounding name? The last few words of Ezekiel.
Ah, yes.
And the name of the city from that time will be
God with us.
God is there.
Yeah.
God is there. Verse 9, one of the seven angels that had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to speak to me and said, come here, I will show you the bride that the Lamb has married. In the spirit, he took me to the top of an enormous high mountain. What is that mountain, by the way? Is it spiritual? Is it physical? We'll see. And showed me Jerusalem, the holy city, coming down from God out of heaven. It had the radiant glory of God and glittered like some precious jewel, a crystal clear diamond. and then read on. And I'm going to move down to chapter 22 because we're running out of time. Verse 1. Then the angel showed me the river of life rising from the throne of God and of the Lamb and flowing like crystal clear down the middle of the city street. On either side of the river were the tree of life, which bear 12 crops of fruit in a year, one in each month, and the leaves of which are cure for the nations. The ban will be lifted. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in its place in the city. His servants will worship him. They will see him face to face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. It will never be night again, and they will not need lamplight or sunlight, because the Lord God will be shining on them. They will reign forever and ever. The angel said to me, all that you have written is sure and will come true. The Lord God, who gives the Spirit to the prophets, has sent his angel to reveal to his servants what is now to take place very soon. I shall be with you again. Very soon, I shall be with you again. Happy are those who treasure the prophetic message of this book. What we see there is a message telling us that the end of either the death road or the life road will be the same, in that God will make his home here on earth, and the earth will be made new, just like it was when God finished creating it on the sixth day. And just as God viewed it on the seventh day as he was resting from his labor and observing everything that they had just created. We are so close. These are the end of days, the days of Elijah.
Thank you, Rick, and thank you all for being here. Dr. Don, Larry, and Mike on the phone, thank you for your contributions to this ministry, and we thank all of our listeners for joining us each week. We encourage you to join us next Friday for another edition of the Bible on Trial, and a week from today at 10 a.m. for another edition of the Revelation of Jesus with Rick Sterling. On behalf of Spirit of Truth Ministry, this is Dennis wishing you a happy Sabbath, a good day, and we'll see you all next time. So long for now.